Afternoons with Matt Webb.
So it is now 1:30 and I'm pleased to be joined on the line by Glenn Poole. Now, he is the UK coordinator of International Men's Day. A very good afternoon to you, Glenn, and happy International Men's Day.
Happy International Men's Day to you too, sir. Hello, Cambridge.
It's good to have you on the line. So tell us about your role as the UK coordinator of International Men's Day.
Yeah, sure. So International Men's Day takes place in around 60 countries around the world, and it's been growing bit by bit over the last few years. About 5 years ago, I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if many different people in the UK who are trying to make a difference for men and boys in different ways could use the day as an opportunity to do whatever it is they want to do. So since about 2009, 2010, every International Men's Day, what we try and do is just to make as many people aware of it as possible and then invite them to use the day as a platform to promote their issues. So I'm speaking to you from a damp alley around the corner from the House of Parliament, because this morning I was attending an event hosted by the charity Calm, which provides services to help prevent male suicide. So that's just one example of an organisation using International Men's Day to raise the profile of a very important issue, because today in the UK, 12 men will commit suicide. So that's just one issue that we focus on International Men's Day.
So this year's theme is working together for men and boys. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so one of the things is that with men's sort of social issues, things like boys in education, how men who are victims of domestic violence can access services, male suicide, men's health, the problems that separated fathers have, all these different issues. There are small organisations dotted around the place that are working really hard to try and make a difference, but they don't always sort of have time to connect with each other or to work out how they can help each other. So the idea of working together for men and boys as the theme was to say, well, perhaps on this particular day, maybe we could sort of look above what it is we normally do and try and see if we can work together. And it's not just about sort of charities, it's about saying that to people at a local level, you know, in Cambridge, for example, you know, how can the police force and the local authority and the health service think about working together more effectively for men in your area? How can we in our families work together to help a young man in our family who isn't maybe doing so well? And one of the projects I run year-round is an online magazine called Inside Man. And what we've done is we've got 100 different authors to write an article about their perspective on men in the UK. That's insidesman.co.uk. It's a great piece of work and a great opportunity for people to sort of like all speak from their different perspectives to raise awareness of the many different issues facing men and boys in the UK today.
I noticed that Mankind are one of your supporters, and it's quite shocking to learn that 1 in 6 men will be victims of domestic violence. You touched upon that just a second ago. What would you like to see to improve support services for male victims?
Yeah, I think I was actually with Mark Brooks, who's the chair of the Mankind Initiative, this morning at the event. One of the things that, you know, Mark is really keen to stress is that it's not about sort of, you know, taking away attention or taking away services to women who are victims of domestic violence, but it's about making sure that all victims of domestic violence are able to get help and support. And one of the things we do know is that men are victims of domestic violence, but those men are less likely to get help and support. Some of that is just because people don't believe them. You know, people think men are strong and tough, and how can a man be a victim of domestic violence, you know? And the other is that local services aren't often there, or those providing local services don't think to actually reach out and say, hey, we welcome men as well. So it's something we can all do, actually, which is actually firstly just accept that male victims exist and be aware of it and look out for it. And the other is for people to sort of, you know, call on services in their local area to put a bit more focus and attention into helping men in those circumstances, in addition to helping women, not in any way kind of in opposition to women.
Okay, and from looking at Twitter last year, many people were writing comments such as, every day is International Men's Day and it's not really needed. What's your response to those people?
Yeah, I mean, 12 men will commit suicide today, 90% of rush sleepers in London are men, boys who are excluded from school, prisons full of prisoners. Tell those men that every day is International Men's Day. I mean, it may be true that a small proportion of the people in the House of Parliament or the people who run churches and big businesses, it may be true that a small portion of men are at the top of the tree. But, you know, most of us are average guys. And most of us aren't in positions of power. Most of us don't have the experience on a daily basis, walking down the street or going to work or struggling to make a living or trying to do the best for our families, that it's International Men's Day. So it's just, it's a nonsense. And what that's kind of saying is that there can only be one day. There can only be an International Women's Day. Well, we can do both. We can have an International Women's Day for women in March, and we can have an International Men's Day for men in November today, and in the 363 days of the year, we can help both men and women. That's the kind of world I want to live in.
So are men discriminated against in society today? We often hear about how women face discrimination, but are men treated that way in society these days?
Well, that has been for many years. If you think about the way that women struggle to get a foothold in the workplace, well, men in particular have struggled to get a foothold in the areas of family life. So, for example, fathers still don't have equal rights. In the UK, if you're separated from your children, you don't have the same rights as mums have, the same chance to sort of stay involved in your children's lives. And also, the way we structure society, we tend to look at gender problems as being women have problems and men are the problem, and therefore we don't know how to help men who have problems. So when men have problems, such as feeling depression or suicide or something like that, they are discriminated against, because services aren't set up in a way to help both men and women. And also, culturally, we actually don't think men have problems. But clearly they do, because 12 of us will commit suicide today, and people who don't have problems don't commit suicide. So, yeah, it's harder to see the discrimination that men experience, but it's there, and it's real, and it affects men of all backgrounds.
So in the news today, only one in six companies are opting to top up paternity pay for fathers, according to a Mumsnet survey. You might not have heard about that, but that's actually in the news today. What's your opinion and view on that?
Well, that's a really good example of what we were just talking about. Things have certainly improved. We are now seeing men more able to access sort of some help if they want to stay at home and look after their kids. But it's a really good example of how discrimination takes place. I saw a report earlier this year by one of the unions that were looking at the amount of maternity pay and paternity pay they give to lecturers at universities. And the worst university for men paid men, dads, 60 times less than the best university paid women. So that's a really good example of discrimination, because if you're a new father earning the same as your partner and you kind of want to look after the children equally, you can't, because your employer is less likely to support you in doing that.
Okay, and would you say it's just the job of men to champion International Men's Day, or would you urge women to help raise the profile of men's issues as well?
Oh, it's very much about, just as, International Women's Day isn't just for women. So International Men's Day is for men and women too. We've all got men in our lives, whether they're our sons, our fathers, our brothers, our cousins, our friends, our husbands, whoever they are. So it really is, in a caring society, we should all be looking out for each other. Men should be able to support women's issues. Women should be able to support men's issues. I'm glad to say that actually some of the strongest and most fervent advocates for men's issues are women. And in some ways, they're more accepted, because it's easier to hear things said on behalf of a woman saying it sometimes than when a man standing up and saying men need help. So we really do need women to get alongside men on International Men's Day and support the cause.
Finally, there's events being staged around the country and worldwide. What would you like to achieve from these activities taking place?
Basically, it's just really to make more people aware of the fact that men do face a whole host of issues, and that there are some people out there already trying to make a difference. So it's just a platform for anyone who is passionate about and committed to improving the lives of men and boys in their communities, in their countries, to use the day to champion what they're already doing. So we just want to see people championing those issues, becoming more aware of them, and doing more to make the world work for everyone, women and girls, men and women.
Finally, is there a website where people can find out more information?
Yes, if you just Google International Men's Day UK, you'll find the International Men's Day website. And I'd also recommend Googling Inside Man UK and finding the magazine with 100 different articles from different organisations and different individuals around the UK.
Glenn Poole, the UK coordinator of International Men's Day, thank you very much for joining us on Cambridge 105 this afternoon.
Matt, thank you so much for having me.
Cambridge 105.
We met at uni. Things were okay for a while. I suppose it didn't take much notice of a constant questioning. I suppose it was because we were having, so much fun. But I really did like her. She was so possessive and controlling. She always wanted to know where I was and who I was with. It was driving me crazy. After a while, it became too much. So I decided to call it a day. I thought she'd be okay about it. We hadn't been together long. When I told her, she lost it. She was shouting at me and screaming at me. She even threw a drink over me. Everyone was staring. I couldn't believe it, but she just carried on, shouting and screaming. And then she went for me. Then she started spreading rumours about me. I was getting funny looks around campus. Even my friends believed her. I didn't know what to do. I just wanted to leave. She's ruined my life. I just wish I'd done something about it earlier.
He is just one of the male survivors of domestic violence of the many thousands around the UK. And I'm pleased to say that I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Anne Sinnott. She is Cambridge's lead counsellor on domestic abuse. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Matt.
First of all, tell us about your role and what you do.
My role is, well, I define it really because it's a new role. I have forged close links with local Cambridge organisations that work with domestic violence. I am working on a number of initiatives, but they're not yet at a state of readiness for me to really talk about them. But I do have something important, a couple of really important things in the pipeline, which I believe will make a difference. I'll be very happy to talk to you about it within the next couple of months, but not now, if that's okay.
So when we say the words domestic violence, the first thought that comes into people's minds is a female that's been in an abusive relationship with a male, but this isn't always the case.
No, it's not always the case. Men are also victims. And we have to remember that this is largely an unknown area. None of the stats that we have are in relation to any type of victim or perpetrator are accurate. So, but according to the latest figures that I've seen, the rate of male victims of domestic violence are on the increase. Yes, the latest I've seen is one in four women are victims and one in six men, and in recent times I've been contacted by three men who were subjected to verbal abuse, physical abuse, physical violence, hitting, slapping, hair pulling, objects thrown at them. And in one case, the woman squandered all of his money and then left him, which is really sad. And men, as do women, they take a long time to recover in many instances because they are very deeply, deeply wounded. Not only physically, but emotionally.
Often men find it more difficult to come forward to report domestic abuse than women do, because obviously when you see adverts on television, quite often they can be targeted quite rightly at female victims because they make up the majority. But quite often it can be quite difficult for men to come forward.
I think the picture with that is a bit more complex. I think all victims find it difficult to come forward and report because the experience is so humiliating. Women take about, according again to the stats, that, you know, they're beaten severely 39 or so times before they come forward and report. There are instances where there are complexities. For instance, a case of female violence toward a man. Very often, it's retaliatory, that the man, she has put up with extreme violence in many cases, often for very many years, and finally she snaps and she attacks the man. In those kind of instances, the male is much more likely to report than the female, and so it gets reported, police come along, she's logged as a perpetrator and he's logged as a victim, but it's clear that's not an accurate description of what's happened. So that's a complicating factor. I accept that in the case of men, being beaten by a woman sort of goes against all the stereotypes. And we are all affected by stereotypes to one degree or another. And so, yes, you know, it is difficult for men to come forward, but...
Mm. And
domestic... It's... Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you see, if you drill down beneath the stats, first of all, I must say, no violence is acceptable. And violence toward men is no more acceptable than it is toward women. It is such an important area. We really do try to need to have a very clear and accurate picture of this criminal behaviour. So the stats, I'm afraid, they mask the reality. When it comes to severity and type of violence, violence that requires medical attention, violence in which the victim is hospitalised, the victim is almost always women. When it comes to repeated instances of severe violence, extreme violence, the victim is almost likely to be a woman. And when it comes to homicide, it's almost invariably a woman. You do get the odd case, you know, but more often than not, it's women. And so it's really important that we understand that this is a gendered crime and that perpetrators are mostly male and victims are mostly women. And even with male victims, the perpetrators are often male.
But they can sometimes be female as well.
Yes, of course they can. That's, I mean, yes, of course, of course, of course. And it's totally unacceptable. But what I'm saying is that if we are to deal with this criminal behaviour in a way that benefits both men and women, it's really important that we have a whole picture. We only have a partial picture because the stats aren't good enough. Most instances aren't reported. And the work I want to initiate is to increase reporting, whether that be by women victims or by men victims, and perpetrators also. Because perpetrators, I mean, according to the stats, some 30% of children who witness domestic violence or who are aware of it, even if they're not in the same room when it's taking place, 30% of those go on to become perpetrators or victims. And the whole area costs, it's just the financial costs are huge. I mean, it's estimated between 2 to 4 million. It costs our nation each year. And in this small city, estimates range from 22 to 59 million in Cambridge City alone. We can't afford it. It's just ridiculous. And the human costs are incalculable. It takes a very, very long time to victims to recover, whether they're male or female. And some don't really ever fully recover. You know, the experiences they go through are so horrendous that they remain really marked for life.
It's worth highlighting also that domestic violence comes in many forms. There's obviously the physical side of things, but there's also emotional abuse as well. And you touched upon a gentleman who had all his money taken away, for example.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. It comes in all shapes and forms. I think when it comes to coercive controlling behaviour, I think the perpetrator is much more likely to be a male because of their size and their comparative physical strength. Because even if they're not actually physically abusing the woman, they can be incredibly threatening. Now, you know, it could equally be like that if you have, you know, a smallish man with the largest woman. She would have the girth to be really, really threatening.
It's stereotyping once again, isn't it?
Yes, but I haven't yet heard of a male being kept imprisoned by a female. And this is quite common with female victims of domestic abuse. They have no access to money. They will often be locked in while the male goes out. She's not allowed out on her own ever. You know, I've heard of instances of shoes being locked away. So I've yet to hear of a male victim who suffers that kind of imprisonment.
But they could be one of the statistics that's actually hidden away, for example,
indeed,
hasn't come forward.
Indeed. Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, for me, the bottom line is no relationship violence is acceptable, you know, regardless of the gender of the victim, regardless of the gender of the perpetrator. But
that's absolutely right. And what support services are available locally, especially for men who are currently a victim of domestic abuse?
I think, you know, the I'm sad to say, the evidence on programs for perpetrators is, for male perpetrators being successful, the evidence is very weak. And I think that's because the various programs don't really go deeply enough. Because, like I say, perpetrators are really troubled, and very often that stems from a troubled childhood. So in order to be able to help these people and to remedy their behaviour, you have to go really deeply emotionally, psychologically, and most programs don't. However, I believe that the Freedom Programme does, and that while it was initially devised for women victims, it's equally powerful with both male victims and perpetrators too, I believe.
What about female perpetrators? Is there any support services out there that target those that decide to attack their loved ones?
Not that I've come across, which isn't to say that it doesn't exist, and I'd be really grateful if any of the listeners would let us know if there are. I think most support services that exist are for victims. I think it's very... In order to get men to come forward and disclose as a perpetrator, you have to be very, very careful in your language. It can't be accusatory. It can't be judgmental. Just why, you know, we live in a very troubled society, and so, you know.
So if there's a male victim listening who's maybe at the hands of a male perpetrator or a female perpetrator, what would you say to that man to encourage them to come forward?
Well, there is a national helpline, and that would be the first step, and they would direct them to specialist programmes. There's one in the north of Cambridge, I believe. Name escapes me. I didn't have time to do that little bit of research where I came.
It's also worth mentioning there are national charities such as Mankind, mankind.org.uk.
Absolutely.
Or if you do feel in danger or in threat of your life, do contact Cambridgeshire Police on the non-emergency number 101 or 999 in an emergency.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I would say to male victims, as I would say to female victims, it's not your fault. You're not to blame. You know, you just got in tow with a very troubled individual.
Well, Anne Sennott, thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 today and talking about a very serious issue, domestic abuse, and more importantly, what's available locally. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So across the day today, or across the show today, I've been conducting an interview an hour raising awareness of issues affecting men, mainly because of the fact it is International Men's Day today. And I'm pleased to say that joining me on the line at the moment is Mark Bishop. He is the Director of Fundraising at Prostate Cancer UK. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Thank you very much for joining us on Cambridge 105 today. First of all, tell us about Prostate Cancer UK for those who are not familiar with the charity.
Yeah, so the charity exists to help fight prostate cancer. And your listeners may not be aware of the scale of the issue, because prostate cancer is as big an issue for men as breast cancer for women. And tragically, one man's dying every hour of prostate cancer in the UK. So our job at the charity is to do all that we can to fight this disease by funding research and providing services and just raising awareness of men's health, but particularly prostate cancer.
Now, most people who know about the charity will probably remember the adverts with Bill Bailey about Men United from last year. Have you found that celebrity endorsement has boosted the awareness of your charity and, more importantly, encouraged men to get checked out?
Oh, unquestionably. And having Bill being kind enough to put his face to the campaign for Men United has made a massive difference. We've had about 200,000 people come to our website and do what we call the Men United test. So just come online and answer 5 questions around prostate cancer. And about 2,000 people said, you know what, from doing that test, I realised I need to do something more. So signed up to be supporters, wear the badge, do fundraising and raise awareness. So I think the important thing about, I guess, International Men's Day, and also it's November this month, so I'm sporting a magnificent moustache at this time, is all of this is chipping away at a kind of... The lack of awareness around men's health and getting us guys to take our health a bit more seriously, particularly things like prostate cancer, because they're so deadly.
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't actually done Movember this year. I did it last year and raised about £50. And it's important to mention that all this money goes into a pot which actually helps men suffering from cancer.
Well, thank you for you doing it last year. It's my 6th year of doing Movember, so my kids and my other half kind of get the news this time of year. kind of moustache I've gone for. This year I've gone for big, fat kind of handlebars, kind of trucker moustache. And as you say, as well as having a bit of fun, and 150,000 men are growing moustache at this time and across the UK, it's raising a lot of money and awareness, and that's important for the money.
Absolutely. And I was also shocked to see the statistics that in the UK, over 40,000 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer every year. That's more than 100 diagnosed every day. And it's estimated that by the year 2030, prostate cancer will be the most common cancer. It makes the work that your charity does even more vital.
Well, that's it. I mean, this is a problem that's not going away. It's a problem that's getting bigger, and we really need to do more to crack, because not enough money is going into research to find out what causes prostate cancer. At the moment, the tests around prostate cancer aren't great, and we need us guys to be more responsive. And as you say, having people like Bill Bailey makes a difference. The other thing actually we found is sporting partnerships. So we're partners with the Football League. So we've got the 72 clubs in the Football League raising awareness, raising funds across the season. That's another great way of getting men's health on the agenda.
And it's also worth mentioning that obviously we are talking about men's health at the moment, but women do play a part in men's health, obviously, wives and girlfriends, to encourage men to get themselves checked out.
Well, it's kind of like in the words of the song, you know, Stand By Your Man. I think we find that, you know, support of wives and partners, daughters and sisters, is really, really important to the work of the Prostate Cancer UK. We need men and women to take this issue seriously. But, you know, it's got to start with the guys themselves. But having the whole family behind is just as important.
And you've had various different politicians back what you're doing as well. I noticed a couple of months ago, Ed Miliband, the leader of the Labour Party, was on your Facebook page because he'd signed a pledge.
That's it, yeah. And actually, as recently as yesterday, we were lucky enough to have the Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, doing an event for us, and he was just really keen to speak about how important prostate cancer is as an issue, and how, you know, we need to make this something that's on the agenda for all men to take more seriously. So it was really great having Nick Clegg lend his name, as you say, Ed Miliband as well. So we've kind of got strong support from political leaders, but we need men right across the country to take it as seriously.
Do you sometimes find that you're having to play catch up with how women's issues are dealt with regards to cancer awareness and getting checked out? Because obviously we've heard for many years that ladies should go and get breasts checked out just in case they've got breast cancer. Do you sometimes feel that you're having to go on an uphill struggle sometimes to encourage men to come forward?
I think what we would say is what the breast cancer charities have done has been absolutely amazing. I mean, the pink ribbon's kind of just very well known. I think women are much more proactive about sort of checking for lumps and going to the doctor. And actually, I think there's a real inspiration in there for guys to say, let's be as sensible about our health and think about going to the doctor if you've got any concerns. And so I think things are improving. But, you know, us guys just historically haven't been as proactive around our health. But I think, you know, International Men's Day helps. I think November makes a big difference. And our all-year-round campaign, Men United, will also, you know, chip away at that lack of awareness.
That's right. And your website's packed with information, including personal stories from men living with prostate cancer. You must hear many touching stories through your work.
We do. I mean, I was with an amazing guy yesterday called Brian. And Brian's a lifelong Millwall fan. And Brian's got prostate cancer, and he's been talking openly about having prostate cancer. But he came to prominence to the charity because of our partnership with Millwall. So Millwall very kindly gave us their shirt sponsorship last season. And by being on their shirt, many fans came forward, including Brian, to share their story. I think what you find is when somebody says, look, I'm affected by this stuff, is far more powerful in a way than the charity talking, because it's real men talking about their real experiences to other men.
What fundraising activities have you got planned in the coming months?
Well, the big one at the moment, as I say, is 150,000 of us guys in the UK are looking a bit silly at the moment with November, and that will raise millions of pounds for men's health in the UK and worldwide. I think it's about nearly 700,000 men doing it worldwide this year, which is just a really phenomenal and humbling thing. But, the big thing for us next year will be there's lots of runs, lots of triathlons, lots of cycling events. For any of your listeners who are at all interested in challenges and sporting events, you know, would be doing really well to get to our website at prostatecanceruk.org and just look at the calendar and stuff there. And if people are less sporty, want to do other things, then again, on our website, you can find something pretty much for everyone. The key message for me is whatever you want to do, and I'm sure we've got something for you there, but please, 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 do something for men's health, do something for your dad, do something for your husband, do something for your mates, just be a part of Men United.
And if there's men listening this afternoon thinking to themselves, oh, I want to get checked out, but I'm rather nervous because they've heard quite depressing stories about how prostate cancer tests are conducted, what would you say to those men?
It's like all things. I mean, I'm sure in our lives most of us have been overdrawn in terms of our bank balance. You kind of hate to stand at the cash machine and ask what your balance is, but you're better off knowing whether you're overdrawn, and far, when it comes to your health, you're far better off knowing if there's something not quite right. So if any guys are at all worried about their health, then the most important thing to do is to face up to it. Go along to the doctor, have a chat, and if necessary, have a test for prostate cancer. But the worst thing you can do is to bury your head in the sand and to ignore these issues, because many men who do face prostate cancer do face a much better outcome if they are brave enough to go to the doctor, face up to it early, get checked, get treated if necessary. And that's one of the key messages from the charity, is that, you know, you can beat this disease by getting tested early enough.
Now, of course, as we've mentioned, you are a charity and you are also looking for donations. If someone wants to donate to Prostate Cancer UK, perhaps they've had a father or an uncle who's possibly unfortunately died from prostate cancer or is suffering from it at the moment and they want to donate, how would they go about doing that?
Well, it's very kind of you to give me the chance to say this, but anyone who wants to make a donation today just to help save dads and men's lives affected by prostate cancer, then all you have to do is just go to our website. There's a big donate button. So the address again is prostatecanceruk.org, and just simply go there, hit the donate button, and any donations you raise will go towards our life-saving research work and also providing practical support for the 40,000 men affected each year. So please consider making a donation.
Well, it's been excellent talking to you, Mark, and keep up the fantastic work that you're doing and your team is doing at Prostate Cancer UK. That was Mark Bishop, the Director of Fundraising at Prostate Cancer UK. Thank you very much for joining me on Cambridge 105 this afternoon. Thank you.